Well, welcome everyone. This is Lorraine Perry here from Relaunch Your Life and the Baby Boomer Business Owners Facebook group. And today we're really fortunate to have Marcia Byron as our special guest speaker. Marcia's overcome a lot of obstacles in her life, and she's here today to share with us how she's overcome divorce, battled disease, and still managed to carry on and create a business. So welcome, Marcia.
Thank you, Lorraine, and good morning, baby boomers.
So Marcia, so tell us a little bit about your story and, you know, how you came to be where you are today.
It's a very long story, so I'm going to cut a lot of it out, so you'll be lucky to know that. Well, please know that, shall I say. Now, I'm going to start off with one of my favourite quotes, which is, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, which is my favourite line from Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. My Tale of Two Cities could be London, where I was born and spent the first 26 years of my life, or 28 years of my life, and Melbourne, where I have been for the rest of my life, which is now longer than I have lived in London. So I'm way up into the baby boomers. I am a baby boomer. I'm a child and product of the late 40s, so brought up in London in, should I say, the 50s, by a middle-class family, in quotes, the parents, with, I understand from there, the middle-class values. Now, Dad worked, Mum didn't. And I also understand now that I was strong-willed, determined, not how a lady of those times should be. I was brought up to be the good daughter, the appropriate to do things in the appropriate way, to be married by the age of 20. To some up-and-coming doctor, lawyer, accountant, which is all what middle-class parents who came from nothing, who built up small family business, then went up to that next level. That wasn't me. All I wanted to do was earn money. I hated school. I hated being told what to do and how to do it. And I was sent to the boring private girls' school, where you were taught to sort of reading, writing, arithmetic, and to sew, and just be nice and polite and learn some French. And that's what I did, but I hated it. At 14, I wanted to get myself expelled to get out of there, because at 15, I wanted to be a hairdresser. Go to hairdressing. You worked in a salon for 3 years in those days. By 18, I would have been a first-year apprentice, operator, and then from then on, I'd just fly. But that didn't happen because it was a private school. They didn't want to lose any fees, so they took me back, and I had to stay there till I was 17 and go to secretarial college, which, again, I hated. I couldn't read shorthand.
Actually, that reminded me back in the day when I was at school. That's what people did. That's what the girls did, didn't they?
That's what we did. We went to Pittman's. Or I went actually to Middlesex Higher Secretarial College, which was a little bit more...
Did you say Middlesex?
Yes, Middlesex Higher, yes.
Well, you know, you wouldn't believe it. I was actually born in Middlesex.
Yes, whereabouts?
Uxbridge, Middlesex. That's all I know. And my parents actually moved. Yeah, no, it's just funny you brought that up.
Far from me, because Uxbridge, I went to school in Harrow. Mm. And, born in Wembley Park. Actually born in Ealing, in the old court nursing home, where Lady Hamilton, who was Lord Nelson's wife or mistress, lived. It was the house he built for her.
Marcia, basically, to fast track it a little bit, you eventually over time, what happened? And I know at some point you got yourself married and something happened.
Well, firstly, just go back to London again quickly. Now, as a secretary, 18, I was in recruitment, one of the biggest agencies in London, and then I moved from job to job doing all sorts of interesting different jobs. Every 2 years I had to move. Now, by the time I was 20, 28, 29, I wasn't married. Now, that was spinster of the parish of the best or worst that you could possibly be at 29 and not married. Mm. And my parent, my mother was beside herself. I met an Aussie. He wanted to marry me, so they were happy to sort of kick me on the plane and send me over here. And that was how I ended up here. But as soon as I got here, I knew it wasn't right. He was a different person here to who he was in London. And but I married. I didn't want to go home with my tail between my legs, so I married. And I pushed on for 28 years, and then I got a divorce. But again, within that marriage, I was that person who did not want to be a housewife. Hmm. And he was that person who wanted a housewife. So, and he knew who I was in London, he knew I, anyway, so that didn't gel at all. So the more money I earned, the nastier he got about it. So usual scenario. Anyway, so I got a divorce. I had built up, I'd started my own recruitment business by then after doing many jobs here, and a lot of it was like 12 years in party plan. When I came to Australia, after the fabulous jobs I'd had and the good references I had, all I heard was, oh, now this is like going back to London in the 60s, 50s, 60s. Oh, well, you're going to be getting married. Well, then you're going to want a honeymoon. Well, then you're going to have a baby. So they told me what I was going to do so I wouldn't offer longevity. So that was why I ended up working for myself all the time. And by the way, I didn't have a baby for 10 years. Mm. So then I got a divorce. Moved into my own home, which I knew I could manage with the mortgage that I had because I was earning very good money with my recruitment business. But lo and behold, I settled in for a couple of years and boom, recession hit. Recession hit and that hit my business. Recruitment is the first to go, especially when you deal with small to medium business. So that went. Then my daughter, who was ready to go to work but didn't want to go out to work, didn't want to join, very much like the typical child of the late 80s, she wanted to open her own business as well. So we ended up, for one reason or another, opening an internet business, e-business, with vintage jewellery. Now, mm-hmm. I have thrown money after money after money on that because, being a baby boomer, I don't really understand IT. I learnt and kept learning. I went to every workshop that I could with my daughter, and between us we learnt to work the website, to put stuff on it, to do the images. Even taking the photos is a massive learning curve. Mm-hmm. Heaps and heaps of social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, and it all built up, but we were doing expos as well, so we could build up our database and use the databases. But in the end, the expos just became incredibly expensive, too many of us there selling similar, and then it started to dribble off where not enough people were coming in.
Mm.
So if they don't come in, you can't sell. And this year has been my worst year ever. My inheritance has gone because my mother died in 2009. I got an inheritance. All that got spent on building the website because as far as I was concerned, you're building a business. So if you put the money in and you get more knowledge and better at it, then you will kick off. But it didn't. And so now I have a lot of vintage jewellery and the website's still happening and I still believe it will happen, but something's got to change. I'm not sure what.
So can we just backtrack just because unfortunately we haven't got a lot of time, but let's just have a look at that just for a minute. It's really good to hear people's stories, to see what they do and, you know, in the money they invest and the learning lessons along the way. Interesting that you got an inheritance and you spent you invested that into the business. Lucky you and an inheritance. I would love an inheritance.
Yeah, but I threw it away.
Yeah, exactly. interesting though, isn't it? Because you didn't have to earn that money. So bottom line is, like, during this time, this is just about, you know, really the story here is about, you know, trying different things and you learn lessons. And during this time, you've also got health issues as well that you've got to overcome trying to make things work. What do you feel has been, because now you're trying to, you know, obviously make things better now, what has been your key, if we were to summarise, what have been your key learning lessons?
Well, I suppose if I'd realised when I had my inheritance that I was throwing good money after bad and hadn't been so determined to actually achieve and make this business work, which I still believe it will, but my goal should have been to buy property, and I could have bought 5 homes and just reaped the benefits and sat back and been a lady of leisure and had the lifestyle that I wanted, but it never entered my head to stop working. So that's it. The inheritance went on living. It went on, and now I'm way into my mortgage as well. So, I should have sat back and smelled the roses.
So that driving force was like gung ho to make it work regardless.
Oh,
is that
absolutely
really what it was?
Yeah. I have this adrenaline hit. Eventually, that's killed me, I think. But the adrenaline push to just keep going and keep making. I love that adrenaline hit.
So it's really being smart enough to recognise when it's not. Here's the lesson, isn't
when
it? Really,
you're decent.
When to drop. When you have to abandon ship. At what point do you abandon ship? I had a similar situation about 3-4 years ago. When I got tired, worn out, and over it, my daughter and I created a rugby league academy. It's a whole long story about that.
yeah,
but it's all relative. Everything was relative to who we are and what we do. It wasn't out of the blue, something totally ridiculous, because it wasn't. And it was more a thing of passion. And we created a lot of momentum in that time. We did have to put some money into it. Not heaps, but we had to put money in. We were not making any money. But there came a point after a year, absolutely loved what we were doing, and we were making a lot of traction, but the dollars, you can see that the dollars weren't going to be there. And it came a point we had to make the call, we would have to abandon ship. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. But as you say, in your case, that's what your key learning lesson was, to know when it's time to move on.
And the thing is, I never, ever had anybody around me. Now, you'd probably know, I don't know how much of your family's here, maybe probably all your family, but I have nobody here.
Mm.
I have no family at all. Now, my family are all business people. I would have been able to sit down and discuss with them what to do. Give me some advice. Put me in some direction. Suggest. But that didn't happen. And the people that I know here are all in the medical industry or retired, and they don't have anything to offer.
Point, Marcia, the type of person you can go to doesn't have to be family to get advice, because quite often they don't, or even your friends don't have that knowledge. It could be quite as simple as, you know, talking to a business coach.
The business
or
coach
business
that
mentors.
The business coach that I had didn't seem to understand my recruitment business. And I could tell he, you've got to find, you've got to go a long way to find the right business coach.
Oh, absolutely. But there are people out there, though. There are people that can help you. So it's about finding, I think the main message that I'm getting across from you is also it is so important about finding the right people, and they may not be within your circles of people. And that's why it's really good to be part of something like the Baby Boomer Business Owners Group, because, you know, well, first of all, that's my background, but I also know, depending on what your needs are, can put you in the right direction for someone that can actually help you, because not all people can help everyone do the same. You know what I mean? No, there's no God from that perspective. There's no guru for all all things, and
you can't be everything to everyone. Yeah.
No, no. Very interesting, Marcia, and it's been really good to have you on the call. So if you were to say your top three life lessons, what would they be?
Listen to my mother. Sorry about that. Really listen to your inner self.
Yes.
I'm very universally minded, so listen to your inner self. Think hard before you do anything and get some good advice.
Yeah, for you, that's very good. Yeah, get some good advice. And if we have anyone on the call that would really like to make contact with you, feel they may, you know, there may be something useful there that they can do to help you or vice versa, how would they get in contact with you?
Via email, via phone, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Baby Boomers, I'm on every group you can imagine.
Okay, so if I were to contact you directly, could you just provide your details?
Yes, you want my phone numbers?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that'd be great.
Yes, it's Marcia Byron, and email is Marcia, M-A-R-S-H-A, at Designer Showcase, D-E-S-I-G-N-E-R, showcase.com.au. My home number, which I do prefer being used, I'm still a baby boomer and I'm not fussed about using mobiles all the time, 0425 713 751 for mobile, home number 03-9570-6573. That is now my
fantastic
number as well.
Yeah. And thank you so much for being on the call. And it's all about never giving up, and there are always options. So it's
always.
Thanks again, Marcia, and this is Lorraine Pirahi from Relaunch Your Life. And I look forward to having more interesting conversations with more of our baby boomer business owners soon. And if anyone would like to contact me, you can contact me at lorraine@relaunchyourlife.com.au. Thank you, Marcia.
Great, Lorraine. Thank you so much for inviting me, and have a wonderful Christmas and New Year.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.